Welcome back. I think we're at episode 322. Joe, how are you doing?
322. And that's the skull
That's
and bones number, isn't
well, that is. So we'll see if we can derive any meaning from that.
it? Right. We'll see.
We'll see if what's that? That's is 322. Is that the
It's never been, agreed upon to the meaning. Some of it claims that it relates to a passage in Genesis 3:22, in which we shall be like gods, basically. The idea that man can be, powerful and omnipotent, but no one knows. I mean, is they one thing about these secret societies is that they're secret and
Wasn't there
you
something to
don't.
do with Bavaria or something? Bavarian? It was like Adam Weishaupt's birthday or something? Was it 322?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen. I bet you, I've seen a dozen explanations for it. But it's again, it's a secret society, and the public, particularly one that's that powerful, you just shouldn't permit it. We should never permit organizations like that are so politically and culturally powerful to not have some kind of democratic inspection of
Didn't
it.
like Russell go to Europe and get that number, the Russell Trust, and he traveled to Europe in the early
Yeah, that's the
1900s
story that I've heard
and came
that he
back
got
and
it.
that's the inspiration for Skull and Bones is the Illuminati and Adam Weishaupt and
Yeah.
all that stuff. In this case, it's just the show following episode 321.
Oh, wait a second. I
Sorry.
thought there was a much more complicated Masonic explanation.
Esoteric meeting tool.
I'm
Sorry.
going to take off my apron and my little skull cap,
I guess we
because
could skip to 323 like they do in on buildings, but that don't have the 13th floor, right? So just skip to just avoid all suspicion. Anyway, this week, number of topics. It was interesting. The first one I thought we'd talk about is the manifesto, so-called scribblings, from what I could tell, of the transsexual shooter, the coveted school mass shooter. I think it's occurred. Last March, March 27th, I think was the date. And it was leaked. It was never released. It was leaked. I believe it was, yes, Loud Stephen Crowder with Loud of the Louder with Crowder show. He's a conservative, yes, YouTuber, probably mostly now Rumble, because YouTube's, I think YouTube actually pulled a video because there was, they called it criminal for some reason. So I guess they don't understand journalism. And whistleblowing, but anyway, he featured the manifesto on his show. It was a three-page handwritten document that shows Audrey, aka Aiden Hale. She was a girl who claimed to identify as a male. That she meticulously planned her last moments. Maybe she wasn't aware. She probably expected to be shot dead. I don't know. Do all that. But the mass school shooting at the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. I believe she claimed six victims. She was the seventh shot that day by police, by the responding police. The manifesto was written in a spiral notebook, has various screeds and thoughts scrawled down by pen. She called it Death Day. Hale wrote on a page with the drawings of a target. A reticle and a pistol along the date 3/27/23. The day has finally come, Hale wrote. I can't believe it's here. Don't know how I was able to get this far, but I am. I'm a little nervous, but excited too. Been excited for the past 2 weeks. And one of the pages headlined, Kill Those Kids, Hale calls the students crackers. So that is a, of course, a pejorative or racial slur directed towards white people. And expresses hatred for their white privilege. Interesting. So she picked up that. Of course, Hale herself was Caucasian. Hale wrote, "Those crackers going to fancy private schools with those fancy khakis, sports backpacks, with their daddy's Mustangs and convertibles." So there's sort of a class warfare thing going on here. Racial animus, even though I mentioned she was ethnic white. F you, little SHSH. ITS, she wrote, I wish to shoot you weak ass dicks with your mop yellow hair. So blonde hair seemed to bother her. Hale added, wanna kill all those crackers, bunch of little faggots. Wait a second, that's hate speech. With your white privilege, F you faggots. So she's calling them faggots. Of course, she herself is Well, what would you call it? Supposedly transgender, but it's obviously confused. She's deluded, she's sick, and she's confused. Now we know that, what was interesting is the authorities covered this up. The manifesto, of course, had been in the possession since the incident itself, and they claim they're investigating it, and they claim they were going to release it, but they never released it. It was delayed again and again and again. It was finally leaked. I think they're trying to find who leaked it. But obviously, this was of public interest because it spoke to her motivations. Now, of course, Hale herself was a supposed trans male, which so she was like responding to the zeitgeist, all the publicity around transgenderism in the past few years. She's sort of a, I guess you could say, among the many victims of the cultural warfare we've been subjected to the past few years. And reason why it's being brought up is there's frequently other incidents where there's been a mass shooting, and it can be, I guess, inferred that the motivations might have been racial, like anti-black or anti-colored. The motivations of the shooter is immediately brought up and publicized and used as a pretext or excuse to shut down free speech, cancel people. I recall Dylann Roof when he shot up a Baptist school or a church meeting. Victims were black, he was white, and apparently he had in his possession or in his ownership a lot of Southern paraphernalia, rebel flag, Confederate flag, stars and bars, and that was used as a sort of as a pretext to engage in this sort of anti-Confederate, anti-Southern heritage iconoclasm that really exploded in 2020 with George Floyd. I think Walmart stopped selling T-shirts. It was t you couldn't buy the Confederate flag anywhere. I think Amazon pulled it. This, although statues had been taken down, this really accelerated this sort of iconoclasm, the melting down, destruction of statues in southern cities, and that's the controversy here. So the double standard, of course, is here. When someone does a mass shooting and the motivation is anti-white, no one talks about it. They think it, they treat it like a singular event. They may even treat the shooter as a victim, as they did with Hale. Remember, they holding up the number seven if she was a victim herself, because society wasn't accepting enough of her delusions. However, when there is another incident and it can be inferred that the motivations are anti-black or anti-colored, that's all the media is talking about it. Again, it's used as a pretext for yet another spasm of iconoclasm and cultural warfare. So, what say you about this?
I read the manifesto and I thought that it led me to a question of, when you combine the kind of European hate speech that is permitted within the media, and this woman was obviously a victim of. When you mix that with hormone therapies and antipsychotic type drugs, that I would imagine such an individual is taking, isn't this just a normal reaction? In other words, what I'm trying to say here is that
Predictable, yeah.
it's kind of predictable, isn't it? Because you've got such a witch's brew of hate and irrationality. That it's almost unimaginable to me that a few fragile individuals aren't going to take the whole process literally into an extreme. So I would say that it's likely that we're going to have this kind of hate activity more and more often in the future. I know that this isn't the first example of a transgender engaged in really irrational acts of violence.
Well, yeah, a
So,
lot of the violence that they do suffer is intra-trans, meaning it's these
yeah.
transgender killing themselves or engaged in drug dealing and prostitution, sort of the
Right.
seedy criminal environment. So they're going to be subject to a lot more violence. So it's not an
But
example of
in a
normal
certain
people going and
fashion,
targeting them yet. Not being
yeah, you've
targeted.
got.
Normal people want to distance themselves from them. They don't go out and pursue them and track them down and kill them or hurt them. Yeah. Sorry, I'm
Anyway, I just think that you're going to see a lot more of this. It's absolutely inevitable. The individuals are being basically directed toward this activity, right? I mean, if you look at the end result of sort of the hate European memes, isn't violence against the European a kind of what's being suggested?
Yeah, when
And
Nolan Ignatieff, he's now deceased, he was a tenured professor, I think at Harvard, says that whiteness must be destroyed at
Yeah,
all means, all
as an
means, you know, all
example.
means are acceptable. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So
Banning
anyway,
means necessary, or what does that mean? I mean,
yeah, and if you look at her specific targets, the blonde kids in khakis, I mean, this individual has been groomed for this activity, and it's a cultural widespread grooming. I just see no way this isn't going to be happening more and more in the future. So, you know, it's like people need just to kind of be aware of this. It's going to be the job of the independent media to do the reporting on it, obviously, because this will all get swept under the table by legacy media.
yeah, where is the Anti-Defamation League on this? They're supposed to be fighting
Yeah, where?
defamation, right? And so this doesn't, does this, was this recorded as a hate incident to the
I
ADL?
don't know, but I doubt it. I don't think that, as they set up the criteria, a transgender is capable of an act like that.
Yeah, okay. I
It's
think
sort of like a
actually,
black person being accused of racism. You know, they have the sophistry that, well, that's not possible.
well, actually,
They're
because
in class.
the police shot her, it's probably reported as an anti, as violence against transgendered people.
Yeah.
It's like what you can do
Yeah.
with statistics. But you're, I mean, yeah, overall, if you have a society that's promoting that type of, you know, just epistemological confusion, moral confusion, and, you know, medical schools and the media and schools and libraries and even many churches and governments are encouraging this behavior, subsidizing it, paying for insurance companies paying for this stuff, which is, you know, obviously it's chemical poisoning, the hormone treatment, the chemical castration, the mutilation of bodies, not to mention just the confusion that the society is promoting. It's this type of violence is to be expected. In fact, those promoting it are responsible because they know when you promote immorality and confusion, and you use your, you know, the perch you enjoy, the privileges that society grants you, that or that you've seized to promote that, you are indeed responsible for this. And again, it's again, this is just sort of the bitter fruits, the bitter
Yeah,
harvest, you
and
know.
so it's just an absolutely tragic situation. It needs to be understood and its implications by the wider culture, and sad to say, but it's going to occur more often in the future.
Yeah, some things need to be certain types of behavior need to be stigmatized. That's an important part of society. Is base Every society has a sense of an idea of deviance and what's right and wrong. It's just a question of whose values are being imposed. That's so. There's no such thing as really neutrality in these things. So they claim that. They claim that to create the vacuum, to create the sort of the naked public square, which is then filled with their values and their prescriptions. If so, every society needs a list of proscriptions and prescriptions. So when the wrong people take over, immoral people seize control of society. And we have to make that distinction. There are immoral people and there are moral people. There are good people and there are bad people. Sometimes there's a little in between too. There's nuance, confused people. And so when you have people who actively encourage this, you expect this. Like when you have a medical community that is actively engaged and is supposed to be involved in promoting health, actually involved in the money-making aspect of this. You know, this mutilation and chemical castration, poisoning, just so they can make money. There's something seriously wrong with the institutions that supposedly guide and control society. And so, again, this is just a natural result of it. And it's about time we get some clear thinking about this. But again, the double standard is again one of those things where it's obvious. It's almost boring to pull to mention it, but it deserves mention. The fact it had to be leaked. You know, it says a lot there.
Well, it's not boring, but it's really painfully routine at this point. This is just so typical. And, you know, we have to keep mentioning it. I know perhaps even listeners will kind of wonder why we would go over these things since they're now so chronic. No one else is doing it. We have to do it because these things need to be defined some way, you know, as data points to get out into the broader society, and mainstream media is not doing it. And like you pointed out, that you know, you need some restrictions in order to create a society.
Yeah,
There
I
has to
saw.
be.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a picture of this young lady when she was a lot younger, and she was by any a normal looking young girl who, in a healthy society, would have been groomed, if you will, but simply just follow the natural course, become a young woman and get married, have a couple kids, and have some meaning to her life? And why was that derailed? Why is that being derailed for millions of young people these days? We have to ask ourselves this question. So it's not something, again, it's not a second law of thermodynamics where just things are just falling apart. This is being guided, it's being nudged, being pushed by the very institutions that we mentioned, and
Yeah,
why
of
is
course.
that?
And the only silver lining to all this is that the culture that they're now creating is so deformed from, normal human biology that it has no future whatsoever because it produces zero children. So
Which she
the
didn't.
current woke culture will be gone in 40 years because there will be no replacements coming up other than what is groomed. And I think that there's going to be a more and more reaction by parents, who will want their kids to steer away from this when they see how destructive the transgender culture and the woke culture in general is to the lives of the people involved in it.
Yeah, when at the end of the day on March 27th, when the police had dispatched her, there were six dead in the school, and of course she lay dead. And one thing, what that was mission accomplished. She lay dead without any offspring, any future. And that's what
Yeah,
we want.
that's right.
Yeah. This week, the House voted to censure Representative Rashida Tlaib for blasphemy. There is, I don't know, I didn't call it that, but it is. It's blasphemy. She was criticizing Israel, and they decided to censor her for it. One thing, now, obviously, she did nothing illegal, and nor do I like her politics, but it is a sign that this Hamas, this Israel-Hamas conflict, the Israeli thing, is causing a splintering in the left's coalition over this conflict. And it's interesting to see, because you have these traditional groups, we've talked about this previously, how these groups on college campuses, I saw one article where a lot of this these some of these Palestinian pro-Palestinian groups are recipients of Open Society Foundation, George Soros money, Open Society largesse, and now it's being pulled back, being withdrawn. But again, I get the sense that we're seeing these protests on these college campuses, anti-Israeli protests by people of color. These are the people that are virtuous and all good, according by the standards of our day now. They're being called anti-Semitic, and they're being shut down because, sort of the golem has gotten out of control here. So I think they've lost some control, and now we're seeing a reaction where they're lowering the boom, where they're, we have like universities shutting down these organizations, decertifying these organizations in the name of fighting anti-Semitism. So they're suppressing free speech, and they're equating anti-Semitism to criticizing Israel, particularly its policies regarding Gaza, the saturation bombing and the killing of, I think, now well more than 10,000 civilians, many of whom are children, women and children, aren't even combatants. So you would think that you would see why people might protest and have some harsh words for the Israeli government. But these universities are being pressured by Jewish billionaires, the oligarchs, to shut these places down. I saw one where these organizations, now Brandeis University, eliminated a pro-Palestinian student group. Well, so much for free speech. The thing is interesting is, is this tantamount to a declaration of war by the Jews on America? Because America, if anything, is defined by free speech. And so what they're saying is, in the interest of the Jews, of protecting Jewish sensibilities and their sense of security, America's right to free speech has to be suppressed, which is, really isn't anything new. It is interesting that it was Brandeis University, because of course Louis Brandeis, the first Jewish associate justice of the Supreme Court, appointed by Woodrow Wilson, as it turns out, was a Zionist agent, a member of a Jewish secret society called the Perushim, and his protege Felix Frankfurter, along with other influential Jewish Americans, were members of these secret societies that were actively engaged in subverting and suborning U.S. policy for their own narrow interest. And it just goes to show that we were told that people like Louis Brandeis are trailblazers, the first Jew appointed to the Supreme Court. America was getting over its anti-Semitism and these things. That's what we're told. But it turns out the very suspicion that we're told is retrograde, primitive, ignorant, even immoral, was justified, because it turns out that Brandeis, Frankfurter, Bernard Baruch, Semi Untermeyer, a Jewish oligarch, they're using their privileged positions in our society to undermine American sovereignty, get it involved in foreign wars, get hundreds of thousands of Americans killed, get us into World War One. And World War One, what did World War One do to American society? It fundamentally changed the US economy, American society. The US Constitution was scrapped in the interest of fighting the war effort. You had the alien, I think the Sedition Acts passed, Constitution, free speech was suppressed, got us into the war, prolonged the war, which of course led increase to the destruction, the human toll, the sort of the rancor and hatred that of course would follow the war, which would lead to the Second World War, which ultimately lead to the establishment of the State of Israel. Because one of the reasons why Brandeis was one of the agendas that Brandeis was pushing as a secret Jewish Zionist agent, which of course was recognition of the State of Israel. And of course here we are today. So it is, I do, it is somewhat, I think it's, I guess I wouldn't say ironic. It is interesting that a school named Brandeis University was shut down a pro-Palestinian organization because Zionism, by definition, eclipses the, I guess, recognition of the existence of the Palestinian people, of course, who happened to own the real estate before Israel was created in 1948. So what
Could
say
you
you?
imagine, Tim, if it wasn't Jews engaged in this suppression of free speech, but Europeans, if somehow the, it was like a colonial area in, the Sudan and and just in a bizarre circumstance led to it would be a European
Well,
nation that.
here's an example. What if in the 1980s there was a group that was critical of the apartheid regime in South Africa and the university shut them down and they were blackmailed?
In other words, if this activity was coming from white people, to use an expression, wouldn't the reaction just be basically overwhelming violence and riots and things like this? So the lesson that I'm curious to see if it's going to be understood by the BLM coalition. You have Muslims and African Americans, Latinos, women, transgender, I mean the woke group. If they actually realize, well, wait a second, everything that we were accusing Europeans of behaving as is in fact now occurring, except it's under this protected banner of the victimized Jewish American. If they have that lesson learned, then you could envision the entire Democratic Party just falling apart because the financing and the publicity for it so much comes from Jewish groups, but the rank and file, the ballot box is from the other sections that are now being oppressed. So you can see that there just isn't, I mean, just at a political level, there just isn't a way to keep all of the components of the woke consciousness political class in the same room. It isn't possible under any
There's
circumstances.
too many internal contradictions at this point,
There's
huh?
too many internal contradictions, but moreover, you have a bully. I mean, obviously, the Jews are not a democratic member of that group. They run the group. Right. Am I exaggerating here? I mean,
No,
they have
no.
all the political power that the group generates, or they are able to coalesce it and use it for their
Well,
purposes.
that's what's telling is, will this result in Jews, while they have a lot of power, most of the power in the United States and throughout the West, with this means that they start to lose the moral high ground, which then will undermine their power because they use raw power, financial power, the threats, obviously the threats of the oligarchs, Ackerman and Wexner and these guys cut off funding or the law firms aren't going to hire students these law schools that are protesting a Jewish professor out in California say not to hire any of his students. It's like so there's shit. And again the narcissism and solipsism is just
Can you
telling,
imagine a
lack of
European
awareness.
doing that? I mean, you could not get away with it in our media world. You would literally be tarred and feathered by our media and probably arrested. So the double standard is not just visible, but it's turning into a kind of dictatorship because if they're able to, and I'm talking about like Jewish political groups, if they're able basically to use their power in this undemocratic way, then, well, what's to stop them from, shutting down free speech everywhere, So,
Yeah. Did you see the thing where Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman? She's the actress who
no,
plays Wonder
no.
Woman, Gal Gadot, attractive former member of the IDF. Most IDF soldiers do not look like Gal Gadot. She, of course, is an Israeli American. She has dual citizenship, from what I understand. Well, she was apparently she produced her along with her Jewish husband. A movie that was highlighting or showing the Hamas terror attacks out in LA. I think it was last, it's basically footage of the October 7th attack, supposedly revealing Hamas's savagery, rape, killing, that sort of thing. And this was featured at the Simon Wiesenthal Tolerance Museum, Museum of Tolerance out in Los Angeles. There was apparently a riot or a fight between protesters that occurred last night out there. But anyway, this is supposedly a film produced by a former IDF soldier, Gal Gadot, actress. Of course, she is an actress. So some people are criticizing it as a propaganda film, which I can understand, given the fact that the source is the IDF, Israel. So there's reasons to be, I guess, skeptical of what you're saying, at least what they're attributing the crimes to and who committed them. If we understand, a lot of the death toll is actually attributed to Israel because of the Hannibal Directive, meaning the type of destruction that was filmed with buildings and cars are representative or indicative of weaponry used by Israelis, not by Hamas. And given the reality of the Hannibal Directive, the idea is you don't suffer hostages. You just kill them and don't, you're not dealing with with that liability. But it is interesting because Gal Gadot claimed that she and her husband were producing the film, and it was likened, the film itself was likened to many of the films produced after World War II, which is because what we know
Right.
about these, Billy Wilder, I think he produced a film, Death Mills, Death
Oh,
Mills,
yeah.
yeah. The Death Mills, where he was brought in. This is part of the Psychological Warfare Bureau, where he was brought in, him and other directors. Billy Wilder, of course, was Jewish. He's the one that filmed the Shrunken Heads, right? The ashtrays, what, human lampshades made of tattooed skin, all lies. So the fact that they're comparing this film that was featured last night on Los Angeles to these films, I don't know if they're aware of what comparison that is, but it goes to show this, yeah, it's a propaganda film, meaning they're going to exaggerate atrocities like they always do, like they always have done. And so there's reason to be somewhat suspect. So the people who are calling it a propaganda film, I think at least are on terra firma here, because there's a reason to be suspicious of a film produced by an IDF soldier and her Jewish Hollywood husband.
Yeah, the Gaza situation is becoming more and more an obvious false flag. The efforts by the Palestinians, the Hamas, to invade Israel have not worked out well. It almost looks like it was a kind of suicide mission, and in fact, has simply provided a pretext for Israel to reduce the Palestinian population, and now they are actually seizing territory overtly. There's actually pictures of them, Israeli soldiers on the beach with the Israeli flag, and making statements about, we're not leaving, this is our land. So suddenly the absurdity of the Hamas foreign policy is transparent. The media isn't going to say anything about it, but I will just say that Gal Gadot could show the worst Chuck Norris movie as in place of her, film about the Hamas Israeli conflict, and it would be more believable than what is being claimed, by Hamas at the present time. The Palestinian people are trapped. They have a political class that is compromised, obviously, and controlled, and they have the Israelis who are basically using Deuteronomy as their foreign policy platform. And so they're going to just get rid of every single one of them one way or another. The question I have when I look at all this is, to what extent can the protests and riots be converted into what is really the most necessary foreign policy for the Palestinians, which is simply education? I mentioned before that one of the reasons you can tell that Hamas is fake and is not a real representative of the Palestinian people is that they don't exercise the most obvious and and potentially successful foreign policy, which is just education of the world about how they got to the situation where they're compressed into Gaza.
How does
So
that
many
work?
people.
How does that work given the Jewish control of the media, though?
Well, that's that. I mean, this is their task,
I think they
but
attempted
they
a
have,
peaceful protest and they were massacred a few years ago.
well, true enough, but they have more chance at getting the education started and creating some actual political power against Israel in the world
I think they
than
should
they
create like
do
a
of,
Muslim Wonder Woman.
well, then, well, they have a bit more chance of that than they do of invading Israel and not having the results be a counterattack in which they're genocided. So I would just say this is the best approach that is open to them. And if they went at it hammer and tong and tried to link up, for example, with the George Floyd group in the United States as one candidate, there are in Europe, there's quite a bit of sympathy toward the Palestinians. They need to coalesce all of that into a kind of Gandhi-like resistance.
Well, traditionally, there was a much more skepticism towards Zionism in Europe than there was in the United States because you didn't have the evangelical contingent in Europe.
Yeah, for sure.
But
But I'm just
the
saying this approach has,
the
this
political
approach had a
class is
chance.
like uniform Zionist now. The political class is. Do you see that John Fetterman video I sent you? He's
I
walking
did.
around in his what is it, like skateboarding shorts and
Yeah.
hoodie out of the Senate. And he's waving the Israeli flag. I mean.
Yeah, it's odd, when U.S.
He represents
politicians.
Pennsylvania. He does not. But by the way, yeah, they have a Jewish government. Only have a Jewish government because a lot of Catholics voted for him. But I'm saying the whole point is he represents Pennsylvania. Why is he waving the Israeli flag? I mean, this fact that they used to not see that. They used to cover themselves a little better. Now it's like for all to see, and it's frankly embarrassing. Of course, he's embarrassing. So what does he know? He doesn't, you know.
Yeah, he's American, but I'm glad that they do it because they need to be ham-handed because the public is not alert, and it's only if they are really, really vivid that they that these
Yeah.
clues can be seen easily,
And by the
So,
way, the crowd was only demanding for a ceasefire. It wasn't even taking sides. It was basically stop the killing. And if you support stop the killing, you're by definition anti-Semite.
yeah.
Yeah.
So the sophistry is thick and the genocide is ongoing and the world is not going to do anything about it. The Palestinians are going to get pressed down right next to the Egyptian border where, they'll be in a very tight concentration camp and then some will be immigrated into countries that'll receive them and perhaps a fraction will get pushed into Egypt and that's the end of it.
But it is interesting. I mean, yeah, I think they're going to continue to suffer. That's just, I mean, since 1948. But how is it going to play out like in domestic politics, particularly the Jews? Because traditionally, the Jews have played both sides, left and right. And that's one thing way they've been able to control the Democratic Party is their access to the Republican Party. And so, if the right wing had been more anti-Zionist and critical of Jewish power, the Democrats would have had to cater to this Democratic coalition better. Now the Jews know that they can migrate to the Republican Party should the Democrats not, become too uppity, if you will, these coalitions, so they can become neoconservative and become pseudo right wingers for an election cycle or two, then switch back when it suits them. This is sort of they have this ability to change sides. This was what the neoconservatives did in the 1970s after the 67 war.
Well, remember, it doesn't matter if it's Trump or Biden. They're
It
both
doesn't because they're both Zionist, right? They're both
Zionists.
controlled.
And so
Yeah.
they're, I don't even think the rhetoric would be different
In a way,
from.
Trump was worse on this matter.
Yeah. So
In
there isn't really a choice at the federal level at this point. the ideal thing would be to have this inspire an awareness of that and more local political activity. I mean, what the Palestinian supporters should be doing is trying to go at local elections.
The
And
35
this
laws, there are 35 states, there are laws penalizing you if you don't pledge not to support BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction Movement.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, this is, and that's, these are the states. These are laws that are all unconstitutional. I mean,
Of course.
I'm
And
challenged that they go down, but I'm
I
saying,
think
what does that
that
tell you about the political, I mean, sort of what's occurred in these states in local politics when this has
but
happened?
again, I don't think that's a reflection of the public. I think that's just a manipulation of the political
Well,
class.
there's a well-organized minority. People don't
Well,
know this.
exactly right. And it's in the federal government's taken over, but in at the state level, it is in control in all certainly of all these 35 states. But at least there would be a chance to resist.
Oh, there
There,
was
I
an egg dish thing in
imagine.
the Florida legislature. There was a lady, a legislator there who was talking about this in the Florida state legislature. It's interesting because state legislatures aren't involved in international issues usually. But she was decrying the slaughter in Gaza and calling for a ceasefire, and she's speaking passionately, and she calls out, she says, "How many children, Palestinian children must die? How many?" And a Jewish legislator said, "All of them."
Yeah,
It's on
charming.
Twitter. You can listen to it.
Yeah, well, Deuteronomy. I mean,
I
it's
mean.
right in the book there. They exterminate seven ethnicities. So it isn't as though, there isn't precedent for the idea. On the other hand, we who are being genocided should be a little more aware of this problem in our midst, and try to organize politically against it. I doubt if there will be any long-standing political pressure, brought about by the genocide of the Palestinians. I think this is probably unlikely. However, it's another element that can be used.
Well, the last
It
75 years hasn't done.
right, exact. For example,
Now, one thing is
it's just.
you do have the sort of the collapse of the Holocaust narrative, which is key.
Yeah.
That's how they get the moral high ground. They're history's victims, and to this, I mean, everything is a Holocaust. And you have the like the Israeli ambassador donning the yellow star, and as I asked, did they get that? Is that World War II surplus, or do they get it at the Yad Vashem, gift shop? Where do you get those things? Can I order them at like Amazon?
Yeah, do you know where the yellow star actually comes from, the concentration camps? What that actually was created by? They had all of these triangle systems for different classes of prisoners, right? And if the person happened to be like a homosexual or worked in a certain area that needed designation and was also a Jew, then they would put a yellow triangle on top of the other. And so it never actually was a designation of simply Jewishness. It was,
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it's another Holocaust mythology, like the
Don't
Final
tell me,
Solution.
don't tell me it was a symbol of privilege, relative privilege in the camp or something.
Well,
That wouldn't surprise me.
it probably was as often as it wasn't, but it wasn't a
Access to the pool.
right, yeah, the golf club. But one thing it wasn't was a designation of, you're on the block to be treated poorly and to be taken to the, some kind of gas chamber. I mean, that is just not in the record. So
Well, I
that's
mean, what's the difference in like constantly wearing a star or just constantly invoking a Jewishness to attain privilege? I mean, there's no difference, right? I'm Jewish, and therefore I have relatives done Holocaust, therefore I'm right. There's no difference there, really. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I
You
mean, if
know,
it doesn't matter, it's like. There's a we have a what is this the this we had, I had I saw a thing with Bill Maher and I think I sent it to you, Bill Maher and Sharon Osbourne,
yeah.
both half Jews, claiming how great the UK is, particularly in London, now that it's diverse, It's just great that it's diverse. And of course, these people probably live in gated communities and two rich people, and they're just talking how much better London is now, this part of London now that it's diverse. And of course, what they're saying is that when London was homogeneous and British, it was bad. You know, just like when they come out and they say that as America becomes more brown, it's better than it were white. Then what's wrong with being white? You know, if you're going to support one thing, then you're perfectly justified in supporting the other, because what you're saying is you're not neutral on it, you're actively supporting it. And there is a this goes back to this whole thing about, you know, the Jews. Well, we're this whole thing about this in Gaza, Hamas is keeping Israel Jewish, and this is sacred, of course, because the Jews deserve it as a homeland, an Israeli a Jewish state. And if you do have right of return, and you, and a Jew, and then the Israelis don't engage in these practices or policies of exclusion, of apartheid, it will stop being Jewish, which is essentially correct, is what it is. But then at the same time, you have this irony, or where the Jews, in regard to other countries, they support mass immigration and diversity. And it was, I think it was, yeah, it was S.I. Rosenbaum wrote in the Boston Globe in 2019 that white supremacy could turn on us at any moment, and that the living among any homogeneous white majority has never worked for us. It didn't protect us in Spain or England or France or Germany. There's no reason to think that it will work now. This is in 2019, Mr. Rosenbaum wrote. Of course, by us, he's referring to the Jews. So much for individualism. So the Jews do them see themselves as a separate group. They're a group. So much for just we're just all individuals. So what you can see, what he's writing there is it's revealing the Jewish fear or hatred of ethnic white Christian
You know,
majority.
you got to throw out the rhetorical question, and I would ask, when did this work for Europeans?
Well, that's the whole thing. It's interesting in his
I mean,
narrative.
when did our presence actually lead to, you having like a better culture than before we came?
Well, again, it goes to his narrative. In his narrative, the Jews are always innocent victims, and they never share any responsibility for any misfortune that befalls them, or how they're treated by the host population. They don't see it as a dialectic or as a reaction to something. If there's a reaction, there's an action. That's their narrative. But what you see here, and this is something that, you know, people have to understand, is the central question for Jews living in Western or Christian societies is how they can survive and thrive as an alien minority population without igniting the predictable resentment from the host population. So what they've done is, particularly in the West and the United States, is by leveraging the disproportionate financial power that they've attained, able to get through hook or by crook, whatever, in our liberal system, this financial power, the Jews have obtained an inordinate amount of political and cultural influence in our society. So they then support diversity, cultural pluralism, degeneracy, and impose a plethora of anti-white policies in the United States and all other Western nations, and point that out, because they believe it will guarantee their existence, the existence rather, of a divided and atomized societies that lack the consciousness and agency to challenge their supremacy, which we now see all around us with this conflict with Israel and Hamas, where all the media, Hollywood, and everything, Congress is just, I mean, it's embarrassing. It's just unanimous support for Israel. Money, $14 billion. We'll borrow more money from the Fed or other creditors, you know, in triple parentheses, to give to Israel, that then we have to pay back in interest to the same creditors, many of whom reside or identify with Israel. That's the system we live under right now. It's the servile state that's been imposed on us.
Yeah,
And
there was that one really schmarmy Jewish critic. He was talking. He was having an engagement. He's a blogger. Forget his name. I wish I could recall. Anyway, he probably come to you. So this woman said, "Free Palestine," and he said, "Well, which part of Israel is do you think needs to be given back to the Palestinians?" In other words, he was making the case that Israel, is like an existing state, and what you're talking about is to liberate part of Israel, right?
how about the
And
67 borders?
well, that would be one.
To begin,
But
starting with that.
I thought, because I have like spent a lot of time reading recently the Hussein Makman correspondence, which the British government promised all of the region to be under Arab rule, And in exchange, the Arabs agreed to help the British against their battle with the Ottomans. And the Arabs paid the blood price. They had 100,000 fatalities. It wasn't just titular. They actually fought 500,000 wounded. They had a million people through starvation and other plights of war, you know. So they paid the blood price. And the whole time that this was going on, the British knew they were lying and were talking about how they were lying and organizing their lie. And they, of course, were working with the Masons. And of course, these people, the British, you know, generals, when they're all Masons, but they were working to then bring out the Balfour Declaration right in the middle of the process in which the Arab thought they were going to end up with regions that would be under their control. You know, so the when the you know, when the people talk about you know, well, the nature of the state of Israel, they really do need to know about the lies and the breaking of the agreements that were systematic from the beginning of World War II all the way up to the foundation of the purported state of Israel, which of course is not really a state in that it doesn't have a constitution. But the there has just there was theft on an international level with the Brits and the Arabs, and then there was theft at the local level by the Zionists, who found clever ways to steal land or, you know, drive out Arabs from the different areas. So they've been hammered. The Palestinian Arab population has been systematically hammered, just unconsciously. I mean, there is no moral vision you could ever have that could accept how they've been treated
But
and how obvious it is that they were stolen from.
wasn't the area peaceful until you had the arrival of these Polish Jewish communists claiming to be
Yeah, for
Zionists?
500 years, Tim,
It
it's
was
been
relatively
peaceful.
peaceful, right? It was
I mean,
the
that's the
Jews that
last
started
front.
the cycle of violence was started by Jewish terrorists,
Well, of course.
targeting both Jews and Arabs and Christians, by the way. And they, you know, from a Christian perspective, I think the country was. Here is like a third Christian in the
Yeah.
1930s, and now
And
it's like 3%. So,
you know, McMahon was he was the head Freemason of the region, just like Palmerston was the head Freemason of the Orient when he was manning the gunboats, you know, slaughtering the Chinese. McMahon was the head Freemason, and he was the problem from the Arab perspectives is that they always thought they were dealing with an honest broker. They didn't understand this behind the scene relationships between the Masons and the Jews. And this was just a classic example of that,
yeah, you can
where they
see that a
became.
betrayal portrayed in Lawrence of Arabia. If
Yeah, exactly.
that movie where T.E. Lawrence realizes that he was just a tool and he resigned
Yeah,
and
and of course,
yeah.
I can write read you letters from Lawrence indicating that he didn't need to be made aware of that fact. That's just propaganda within a Hollywood movie. He actually was creating foreign policy to destroy the Arabs. And he certainly knew well what McMahon was doing. So there's just they make these movies after the fact, Zero Dark 30 or something, to try to create a fictional history in video, right? That replaces all the little troubles that exist with the real history, you know, that needs some propaganda to keep it in place and to make people believe that this is their storyline is real. But believe me, Lawrence Arabia was an absolutely 100% evil Mason who was working constantly to destroy the Arab populations.
Well, the British, that's how you run a global empire, is you go a little native and you infiltrate them
Sure.
and manipulate them, and that's what he did, you know. The same that's the same that's like Aleister Crowley was a part of that too. He was an agent, he was a British agent, and a lot of his woo-woo Satanist stuff was a lot of because he just wanted to, you know, have a lot of sex and he was perverted. But at the same time, that's all part of running an empire is sort of being familiar with the esoterica of these other countries, so you can get, you can understand, basically it's weaponized anthropology,
Yeah,
which
exactly.
so,
And it's a combination of mysticism and pornography.
And
And
you can indulge whatever perverted, disordered
And
passions or
this
appetites you
breaks
have.
down the family structure if you apply it over a long period of time. I mean,
It's like
remember though.
Aleister Crowley actually was an agent. He came to America and posed as a pro-German propagandist, but
That's right.
he wrote all this outrageous German pro-German propaganda to incite anti-German sentiments in America. That's how that's what the British propaganda is so effective. It's
And he traveled in high circles, amazingly, guest of the Vanderbilts. I mean, it's all just one
The same
system
thing with
of,
Timothy Leary decades later.
yes, exactly.
Banker families, and what's this guy? Why is he
Exactly, same exact thing. So
being
it's,
hanging out with the Grateful Dead or something? I don't know. It's like, did you was less than want to talk? Oh yeah, the Bill Maher monologue. I mentioned Bill Maher. Did you catch that?
I did,
What'd you think about it? It's very it's funny how Bill Maher is, of course, half Jewish and he's liberal, but he comes across as somewhat reasonable liberal. And I thought, well, obviously it's a monologue, it's comedic, so it's going to be sophomoric and it's going to have a fill a lot of half truths, but it's an interesting example of how the Jewish lobby will co-opt sort of conservative right-wing sentiments by invoking Western civilization. How he says somehow defending Israel and defending the bombing, the saturation bombing in Gaza, somehow propping up Western civilization. I didn't quite under I don't didn't understand the main connection. So the criticism of Israel, because it's done primarily from the left of these very groups that the Jews, the cultural Marxists have promoted for the past several decades on college campus, they radicalize the campus. Now when their golem turns against them, they want to shut it down. But that's kind of what his monologue was about. He's citing Martin Luther King and free speech and these things, how Israel is an outpost of Western civilization and therefore it's bad. That's an interesting take on that. What'd you think about the monologue?
Well, I mean, I think you hit it spot on. I mean, he's just trying to create the propaganda that Israel represents a high standard of Western civilization, and that this is something that is being given to us at this time by people like Maher to confuse us so that we don't see the basic human concerns over the Palestinian children getting bombed.
Is Israel tolerant or liberal
Yeah,
society?
I mean, but these principles are being given. But remember, it's in the inversion of monologues like Maher, you start out with the idea that the Palestinians are always the attackers and the Israelis are always responding to an attack. So it's this, as long as that premise is unchallenged, then the propaganda can always be effective.
Yeah, he pathologizes sort of Muslim culture, kind of generalizing. He saw a picture of he's talking about women's rights and all that. Shows a picture of women in Saudi Arabia. Now, the Gaza is not Saudi Arabia, and if I understand, is women in Gaza, they don't cover up like women in Saudi Arabia. It's
Yeah,
like
no, they don't.
Muslims in Indonesia are very different than Muslims in Saudi Arabia or Yemen, right? If I'm there's a wide there's a lot of diversity in the Muslim world about cultural, prescriptions and prohibitions, but it's sort of the 40 virgins, thing where they're all believing that, so it's easy to dehumanize them. But he pathologizes these aspects when, well, let's pathologize liberal society, Western, and it's pornographic liberal society, and accentuate its extremes, at the same time. And somehow this
Well, I mean,
justifies the
the funny
bombing.
thing was, he's like basically giving false images of women in Gaza, which even if you take them as he presents them, are certainly more wholesome than like the pornographic scenes, like you can just film it at any Florida beach during spring break, right? So why is this even accepted as something that is just universally inferior, to Western values. And remember, Maher attends strip clubs. I've seen videos of this snake slithering out. So he's comes from this world, and I mean, I don't think that this is serious, Tim. I don't think he actually believes this. I think it's just propaganda that he was just given this as the role to play. And you know, out comes the peace.
Well, he claims that Israel was legally created. It's not a colony, which is, I guess, technically correct, by the UN. But has Israel stuck by the UN borders in
No.
1948? I don't look at a map. It's
I
like.
mean, is the thing was it was simply propaganda. There was no standard of accuracy that he was adhering to, and he criticizes often, political left or whoever he's going after for small little details, right, of inaccuracy. Here, he was just lying his head off. So that's Bill Maher. These people stay in the wings. They develop trust, and then at a certain point, they bring them out to try to affect propaganda and influence people.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, is saturation bombing Gaza, how is that upholding Western civilization? Or the dispossession of the Palestinian people, how is that upholding Western civilization? It seems to me that it's, I know his essential point was, how the West isn't the sum of its of evil deeds, and that's kind of correct. And at the same time, you can't, condemn Western civilization, give it the white glove test, and then, give other civilizations a pass, in the name of tolerance or diversity or acceptance or moral relativism. I understand that, but the funny thing is when you're talking about Israel, the Israeli state, and the Jewish lobby, is the sort of the deconstructionism, the cultural Marxism, the radicalization of the college campuses, the sort of this destruction of Western institutions and Western education. Well, Jews have spearheaded that, right?
Of course.
It's the same people, and it kind of like, wait a second. So you're trying to convince right wingers, conservatives, to stand up for the very people that are destroying Western civilization, and at the same time, they're very bringing in, again, we saw this recently. Talked about it last week, whereas Jews have spearheaded, mass immigration of non-Western people into traditionally Western societies to change those societies to make it more diverse, as Barbara Leonard-Specter says, claims her organization, make Europe less Europe, Germany less German, or Scotland less Scottish, and Finland less Finnish, and so on. But that so you're inviting all these intolerant people in your society, then you're condemning them when they speak up and they act up, and they're in large enough groups so they can act out and act illiberally, if you will. But the very organizations that are responsible for that situation, that current situation, are the organizations that he is now defending, with
Yeah, I mean,
Israel.
and also Tim, I mean, where is the like tutting for not being multicultural enough that's directed against Israel? I mean, they're not behaving in a very multicultural way for the last like 4 weeks, have they?
Yeah, Bill Maher had an interview with I saw that video he sent where he had a video with interview with Benjamin Netanyahu, where Benjamin Netanyahu said explicitly that immigration has to be shut down or severely regulated in Israel to maintain its unique Jewish character. And Bill Maher is saying, "Yep, that's great, that's great." Why isn't the same apply to Germany or Scotland
Well, how
or the
about
United States?
Detroit or Milwaukee or some of these
Yeah.
other areas that want to maintain their unique character, you know?
Well, now you have
Yeah,
a
so I'm
situation
just.
like in Chicago, where the federal government is dumping in people from Honduras and all over into this neighborhood, and the blacks there are upset. Now,
I know.
the
Well,
and
they should
they're
be.
talking about the unique black character of the neighborhood. Well, why can't white people talk about the unique white, Lithuanian or Polish character of their neighborhoods? Well, that was destroyed in the 1960s with forced busing and integration. But you were a racist retrograde if you wanted to preserve that. Same thing if you were a white Southerner, you wanted to preserve your culture. It's like it cuts both ways, but it doesn't, though, if you control the media. And this goes back to Jewish power, which is essentially financial. They leveraged all that to shut the legitimate debate. They don't believe in legitimate debate. They don't believe in dialogue because they don't believe the other side are human beings, frankly,
Well, and also
unfortunately.
they know they can't stand in the argument. I mean, their position is indefensible because it's transparently immoral, right? And it's self-centered, it's racist. Everything that they're accusing Western society regarding and critical theory goes after, they need to promote in order to keep Israel the way
Well,
they
they
want.
contradict themselves. In the same breath, they'll accuse Hamas of carrying out these massacres of beheading babies and raping women and all that. At the same time, they'll invoke Dresden as a way to respond, where they, firebombed 100,000 innocent, women and children, and
Yeah,
burning
I
them,
know. That's wonderful.
Or the very same, like, Ilya Ehrenberg, the Soviet propagandist, the Jewish Soviet propagandist, who urged Red Army soldiers to rape every woman from age, every
Exactly,
German girl
exactly.
from 8 to
I've been.
80. And then he is lionized in the Yad Vashem Museum. His papers are there.
Yeah.
And like, wait, talk about projection.
Yeah. I've been actually on some other podcasts explaining my insight that the policy in Nazi Germany regarding the Jews, which is what is known as the Final Solution, which was at the beginning emigration, right? Hitler was the biggest Zionist of all time. He got 40, 50,000 Jews to move down there. But then as the war went on, immigration wasn't possible, and so they switched to what they referred to as the final solution, which was evacuation. The final solution was not and never was described as extermination. And I won't go into it because it's too long of an analysis for this present moment, but it can be demonstrated that the final solution was, in fact, the evacuation of the Jews from Germany. All right. My point here is that they knew completely well that these events of destruction were going to incur in these regions. They knew the firebombing was coming. They knew there was going to be the Asiatic hordes going across Germany, raping and pillaging. And so they moved the Jews to other areas to protect them. This is why it was done. This is why the final solution was put into effect. It wasn't and never is, of course, to like somehow benefit Europeans. It turned out it's another example of just a very clever Masonic maneuver in order to get the population that's going to be slaughtered isolated so that the Jews don't have to suffer the
Oh,
fate.
yeah. The story is, again, the story of World War II and the Third Reich and the so-called Holocaust and, how the Jews relate to that is much more interesting and complex than laid out in the standard fairy tale we've been given. Moralistic fairy tale, the drama we've been given. One thing that I've heard is this whole Havara agreement, the transfer agreement, and the negotiations between the Zionist Jews and the Third Reich in the 1930s is very interesting. Why, when the Nazis came to power, they shut down all alternative political parties, being an authoritarian regime, but they allowed the Zionist Party to continue existing. So,
Isn't it amazing? Isn't
they
it
allowed that organization to
absolutely
exist independent of the
amazing?
government. But one thing, what there's an interesting thing is that there are war Zionist organizations, terrorist organizations, militias, looking to align themselves with the Third Reich during the war, during the
Sure.
war. And one person that was negotiating this, a German official, was Adolf Eichmann and in the SS, Adolf Eichmann. And there are some people who believe that why he was kidnapped and brought back to Israel in the 1960s, 1962, put on trial, then killed, was because he knew intimate details of those negotiations. That, like, they were
Exactly.
very.
There was a huge scandal in Israel to cover up
Yes, and they
what
that
was
was covered
coming
up.
out of the
Yes.
fact that there was a very clear relationship between the Nazis and the Israeli Zionists
There
that
was a very
transcended,
campaign
the
to
war and
ally
everything
with
else.
them, yeah.
But notice the timing that when the war's activity made it impossible for immigration to any longer occur, this is the moment when they went to the next solution of evacuation.
Yes.
One policy, the end of one policy led immediately to the beginning of the other. And this is analysis I haven't quite finished in a written form, but I am intending to bring it out. But this was very logical to the interests of the people running the war on both sides, is that they would be able to move the Jews to protected areas so that you can get them to Treblinka and Auschwitz. And now you can just firebomb the hell out of Dresden and Berlin and Bonn and every other German city. because you've moved your protected class out. So anyway, this is a radical new way of looking at the final solution.
Yeah, and then that's sort of the firebombing of Germany, particularly the destruction of these traditional cities, Hamburg and Dresden. It was physical destruction, but it's also like a psychological decapitation of the German people.
Well, and remember when the Asiatic horrors that Stalin unleashed, it was a physical decapitation of the human population. I mean, they slaughtered the Germans. They raped millions of women. I mean, it was just, I mean, there's just nothing like, I mean, you can't even describe a point in human history where that is worse than what the Asiatic hordes did to the Germans at the end of World War II.
I saw an interesting headline here. part of the sort of this inherent contradiction of this conflict between Israel and Gaza, and we talked about sort of the breakup of the Jewish Zionist Left Alliance because of the pressures, these sort of these contradicting forces created by the conflict. Is the Department U.S. Department of Education vows to pull federal funding if universities fail to combat anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. So, U.S. Department of Education Secretary Miguel Cardona on Tuesday vowed to pull federal funding if schools fail to combat anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. Cardona said that the Department's Office of Civil Rights has received 8 or 9 complaints about anti-Semitic and Islamophobic incidents on school campuses. And one of that involves like shutting down pro-Palestinian organizations. I would want to provide support for these universities, provide guidance, and if there are egregious acts, I want to make sure that we are investigating. Ultimately, if we have to withhold dollars from the campus refusing to comply, we would, he added. However, even though the Education Department could withhold federal funds, there are other actions he could take against universities in action. He added that ensuring a safe learning environment for all students, while also protecting students' rights to free speech, could be a challenge, CNN reported. We want to
Well,
provide.
it's a logical impossibility. I
Well,
mean, what they've done is set up a circular suicide squad, wherein, I mean, like your point is just absolutely brilliant. I mean, I just think it's fantastic that when they brought up the Islamic phobia, criteria, something they have to prevent, did anyone raise their hand and go, well, how about like the people who are trying to shut down our ability to have free speech? Is
yes.
that going to qualify? Because that's happening this afternoon, and we can just go over there and prevent it. So they're in a position that's they have too many illogical plates in the air, and the whole thing is just at this point, all they have left is mind control. They certainly can't appeal to reason.
Well, they claim the people of a particular protection or people of identify as Jews, Muslims, people of color, but conspicuously left out of the list are ethnic whites. So, colleges actively discriminate against ethnic whites, particularly the Ivy Leaguers, right?
If I was on a college campus, I would try to organize like a European Protection Association of some kind. I mean, you'd have to
Furthermore,
do it
the
kind of carefully.
OCR sent a letter to university reminding them that since they receive federal funds, they have a legal obligation under Title VII to provide all students who are perceived to be Jewish, how do you know that? Israeli, Muslim, Arab, or Palestinian without a discrimination-free environment. Again, what if you're perceived to be, I don't know, Irish German?
Then
You out of
you're a
luck?
doormat. There's nothing lower than you in on the planet. Yeah,
But you
so
see this, but the shutdown is organizations. I mean, it's kind of like, well, Islamof sorry, Ackerman and these billionaires, when they're pressing universities to shut down these pro-Palestinian organizations, members of which are probably Muslim, pr can proceed to be Muslim or Arab, is that discrimination? And how is that
of
consistent
course
with
it
free
is.
speech? I saw a video today. There's antisemitism.com or something, fighting antisemitism, some lady, and she's citing there is apparently a 1500% increase in anti-Semitic incidents are being reported. Of course, they get reports from emails, texts, and all that as well. Are you scrutinizing these things? But I'm saying, yeah, if it's in the news, there's a war in the Middle East, or there's conflict in the Middle East between Israel and Palestinians, and it's causing a lot of protests and a lot of flared tempers, you're going to have a lot of incidents of anti-Semitic rhetoric, because the definition of anti-Semitism is criticism of Jews or Israel.
Yeah, I mean, if you walk around waving an Israeli flag like Fetterman did at a rally that is protesting the genocide of Palestinian children's, and someone yells at you that you're a racist Zionist, a genocidist,
Yes.
well, there's your hate crime. There it
So
is.
saying Israel, we stand with Israel, that's okay. But saying from the river to the sea is not okay. So if you stand with Israel, that's okay. But if you say from the river to the sea and you support Palestinian claims, that's anti-Semitic. But isn't that also anti-Palestinian or anti-Muslim or whatever? I
Yeah,
mean,
there's no,
it's
obviously,
what is, I mean, it's like,
there isn't any logic that's possible any longer, because there's all of the rational pie has been taken up, and there's still another
so if you're
50%
a
of the people.
congressman and you say, I stand with Israel no matter what, you won't get censored. But if you say from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free, you get censored.
Yeah.
Right? Okay,
Yeah.
so
Well,
that's the juxtaposition here.
yeah.
Isn't that irrational?
Yeah.
Is that,
Yeah,
I
so
mean, right?
it's
That's irrational, right?
well, it's illogical, and no logic is possible,
Yeah.
because the situation they've created is contradictory. They've By trying to include themselves in the protected class, the Jews are going to eventually be subject to the rules of the protected class, right? And the rules are, you're going to need to define them in very creative ways in order to keep the rules from coming back and being something that restricts Jewish hegemon. I mean, so it's a good it, this is a good time, actually. I mean, it's just catastrophic for the Palestinians, but I think what's going on is healthy and to an extent, because it's sort of clarifying to the George Floyd rioters about, we got all this money from corporations, but that doesn't mean we are really free to say what we want and to, have political power. We're still basically second class citizens. It's just we didn't know at the time we got the money from the corporations who the first class citizens were. Now we know.
The moment of clarity.
It's a moment of clarity.
So, okay, Joe.
All right, Tim. Well, thank you so much for the discussion. We'll get them next week, brother.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye.